This is special coverage from North State Public Radio. I'm News Director Sarah Bohannon. Today we're checking in with three public health officials throughout the North State as counties move further into reopening and COVID-19 cases continue to rise around the state and region. If you have questions for us, let us know on our message line 433-9216 or go to our website, mynspr.org. For Friday, June 19th, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. First, some news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. Californians must wear masks in public. That's a new statewide order issued Thursday by Governor Gavin Newsom as deaths and new infections from the COVID-19 pandemic continue rising. Newsom said he issued the order because too few people are wearing masks, risking progress made in restarting the economy and fighting the disease. The new rule comes with limited exceptions. It's unclear how strictly it'll be enforced and by whom. Another 4,084 Californians have contracted COVID-19, the California Department of Public Health announced Thursday, the highest figure in weeks. Officials have confirmed 161,099 cases since the outbreak began. Infections are rising at a weekly rate of 16.3%. The department also blamed another 82 deaths on the virus. The death toll in California is now 5,290, up 8.3% compared to a week ago. Until recently, deaths were rising by about 13% a week. While much worse in several of California's largest cities, the coronavirus is taking a stronger hold on the North State. The number of cases across the 11-county region now stands at 395. On Thursday afternoon, Sutter County was reporting 97 cases, Butte County 90 cases, Shasta 58, Yuba 39, Glenn County 42, Tehama 28, Siskiyou County 21, Colusa 7, Plumas 6, Lassen 5, and Trinity County 2. Dr. Fong Liu, Sutter and Yuba County's health officer, took over responsibilities in Butte County Thursday, a 30-day temporary appointment, as Butte County searches for a replacement for Dr. Andy Miller, who resigned from the position Tuesday. In other news, Pacific Gas and Electric Company was fined $3.5 million Thursday after pleading guilty earlier this week to causing the campfire and the deaths of 84 people. Butte County District Attorney Mike Ramsey said the law essentially prevented prosecution of executives. Instead, Ramsey sought the maximum allowable fine, $10,000 each for 84 counts of manslaughter. Court fees and the fine for illegally causing the fire account for the remainder. Before dawn on November 8, 2018, a hook attaching an insulator to a century-old 115,000-volt transmission line, worn nearly through by decades of rubbing against a bracket, broke apart. Grounding itself on the tower, the insulator showered sparks and melting metal onto brush left tinder dry by months without rain. The fire was quickly out of control. Ramsey's investigation confirmed longstanding issues with the utility established following the rupture and explosion of a natural gas transmission line in San Bruno in 2010 that killed 8 people and leveled a subdivision.
A culture of neglect, of inspections, of maintenance, fudging of records, and training of personnel. Obviously all to maximize profit, led to the failure of the C-hook on that day of infamy.
The results were devastating.
Over 18,800 structures destroyed, of which nearly 14,000 were residents, family homes, and an entire American city wiped from the face of the earth.
In addition to the fine, PG&E was ordered to reimburse Ramsey's office $500,000 to cover investigative costs. A restitution hearing was scheduled for January 15th. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Butte County has recorded a steady increase in cases over the last month, which was something health officials say they expected as the county moved through the stages of reopening. NSPR's Andre Bayek recently spoke with Butte County Public Health Director Danette York about the increase in cases and the metrics officials are watching going forward. But the first thing Andre asked was about the departure this week of the county's health officer, Dr. Andy Miller. For the next 30 days, Dr. Fong Liu, health officer for both Yuba and Sutter counties, will fill in. Andre's first question was about the county's plans to find a more permanent successor.
So we already had a memorandum of understanding or MOU in place with Yuba County to provide health officer coverage anytime there's an absence. So Dr. Liu, who is their health officer, will be covering for us for the next 30 days. That's what we're starting to look at initially. And then as we get closer to the 30-day mark, if we need to renew that, we can or extend it. In the meantime, we had already started our recruitment process for a permanent health officer, and we actually have the first round of interviews are scheduled for tomorrow afternoon. And the position is posted and will remain posted until filled.
What are some of the duties that fall upon a health officer, and perhaps even now with health officer Liu taking over here?
Dr. Liu will be providing mainly communicable disease oversight and including coronavirus, but there's other duties that fall to health officers, and they vary somewhat based on the jurisdictions, but are pretty standard across the state as well. So anything distinguishing between the public health director and the public health officer, I say that I use the terms that I'm the administrator. She, in this case, will be the medical person. So I have an administration and leadership background. I have no medical expertise. And so I have to defer to them for anything that comes up that are medical questions.
Some of those medical questions maybe could encompass Butte County's rising numbers of COVID in the past month. I believe at the beginning of June, there were about 50 cases, and now it's around 88. Does that increase alarm you in any way?
Well, anytime there's an increase, even if it's one, it's public health concern. Alarming may be too strong of a word, because we did expect the cases to rise when two things happened. One was increasing testing capacity, which we have done here in the county, and opening some sectors back up. So more people are out and about, and more people are getting tested, even if they're not showing symptoms. And so we are finding more cases of the virus in asymptomatic people, meaning they have no symptoms.
And as people are moving about more and more business is being conducted, are there any specific metrics you're looking at when it comes to deciding perhaps to roll back some of these reopenings?
So what we did was we reviewed our reopen plan and aligned it with the state metrics. So the state created metrics that they'll be watching for every county and reaching out to counties that meet a certain threshold in certain metrics, you know, and helping, offering to help, looking to see what we need as far as resources or any technical assistance that they could provide that would help us get back below that threshold. And so some examples are the case rate, of course, based on how many cases you have per 100,000 population. And then hospitalization use rates and usage of ventilators or people being in the ICU is another. Testing capacity is one as well.
And currently, how is Butte County doing under those metrics?
We're doing fine. We actually have not met any of their established thresholds for concern except for one, and that is, in our attestation document, we were requested to comment on what our testing capacity is in the county. And their metrics, instead of looking at capacity, they're looking at how many actual tests are performed. And so that's the one metric that we are not performing at the level they would prefer us to, meaning how many people are actually getting tested. However, there's a seven-day lag. They look at that as on a seven-day average, and there's a seven-day lag for it. And I make that point because the OptumServe testing site at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds has actually picked up in usage over the last week or so. And we have also done a media campaign to make sure people are aware that they can go get tested without even having symptoms. And more people are taking advantage of that now. And so we anticipate that that one will change as well, and then we would not be meeting any of those thresholds of concern.
If people aren't taking advantage of that testing or testing in general, does that hamper in any ways the county's understanding of how the virus may be moving around or spreading in the county?
I think, yes, it does hamper it somewhat. You know, we encourage people to get tested, especially if they have any symptoms or concern. But regardless of whether people get tested or not, the key message is that it is in our community. It is spreading. You know, we can tell that by the number of cases increasing. So taking all of the precautions seriously and performing those mitigation efforts continues to be of the utmost priority. You know, wash your hands often, keep that social distance, and wear face coverings whenever you do have to go out.
Regarding some of those precautions and perhaps specifically face coverings, has the public health department considered recommending mandatory use of face coverings in the county?
We have not here in Butte County. There is a conversation going on at the state level about whether or not mandatory masking order should go into place. I don't know where they're at in that discussion, but here in Butte County, you know, we have not even considered to do a mandatory one at this time. We do highly recommend it and, you know, trying to educate people on how it is helpful so that people will be encouraged to do so.
And just a quick follow-up, I'm curious maybe why not regarding the mandatory face covering usage. Is it because Butte County is meeting some of these metrics, falling under them at least?
Yeah, I mean, I think the county as a whole is in a pretty good space right now. But beyond that, you know, when you start mandating something, it's helpful to have some sort of enforcement in place to enforce that mandate. And that would be a very difficult thing to enforce. And we try not to take away people's rights as well. So it's finding that right balance. And as of right now, the balance is highly recommending, but not mandating.
Is there at all a concern that as more business is conducted, more people are moving around, that more people will fall seriously ill and some even perhaps die?
From public health's perspective, absolutely. That's always going to be a concern in a novel virus like this. This one in particular, because we've seen such a wide range of how it affects people. You know, there's many people that have no symptoms, some that have very little symptoms, and then, of course, some that it makes them severely ill and even causes death. So there's always that concern that those will increase. But again, it's finding that balance.
That was Danette York, Butte County Public Health Director, speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek on Wednesday, a day before California Governor Gavin Newsom's statewide mask order was announced. You're listening to special coverage from North State Public Radio. We'll hear more from public health officials in Glenn and Tehama counties just ahead.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from iDrive, providing cloud backup, full system backup, and on-site iDrive appliance to protect PCs, Macs, and servers from data loss due to crashes and ransomware at iDrive.com/NPR. And from Procter & Gamble, maker of Align Probiotic, a daily supplement to support digestive health containing a probiotic strain developed by gastroenterologists with 20 years of research. More at AlignProbiotics.com. Support for NPR comes from this station and from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org. From the Wallace Foundation, fostering improvements in learning and enrichment for disadvantaged children and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas at wallacefoundation.org. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
This is special coverage from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Several new clusters of coronavirus cases have emerged recently in Glenn County, which has seen the number of cases more than double since the 1st of June. The county, which has a population just above 21,000, is seeing 8.3% of tests for the virus come back positive. That's above one of the triggers for reinstating restrictions. To find out more, NSPR's Mark Albert spoke to Laura Medina, Glenn County's Emergency Preparedness Coordinator.
Currently, we have 10 active cases, and they are, for the most part, related to three different clusters that we have in our county. Some of them are linked to Butte County cases or Tehama County cases. We are seeing an increase due to gatherings or close contacts, family members, family friends, close family friends.
Are these mainly in Willows or Orland or elsewhere in the county?
The majority of our cases are occurring on the north side of our county, so that includes Orland and Hamilton. So currently we have 38 cases. 36 out of the 38 are located in the north part of the county, and we have two cases from the south part of the county.
How many people are you contact tracing, and what's been their reaction?
So we do contact tracing, and we do the educational approach. We try to educate them and explain why we are contacting them and what they need to do. They need to monitor for signs and symptoms and the importance of that and the best practices that they should be doing to watch out so that they, being exposed, don't convert and have the coronavirus. 5 out of our 10 active cases, we're following roughly 80 contacts. And we have nurses and public health staff that have been trained in contact tracing. And for the most part, we do that over the phone. If they choose texting, that's another method that we are doing. So we really try to reach out and do an education approach.
Looking at the state requirements, they are saying for reopening and for moving ahead that you have to have a stable number of cases for 7 days or require a stable caseload for over a 7-day average and fewer than 25 new cases per 100,000 residents over 2 weeks. With Glenn County's population at 28,000 and change, how close is Glenn County to having to reintroduce some restrictions?
So both the state and the local county looks at different triggers. So there's a couple of them. We have not met them yet regarding cases and outbreaks. We're looking at 5 unlinked cases. And out of our 10 currently active cases, the majority of them are tied to 3 clusters. So we have 4 different exposure sources per se. So we have not met the 5 unlinked cases within the last 14 days. Another trigger that is being looked at is the number of illness or cases within skilled nursing facilities or long-term care facilities. And we have not had a case yet within our skilled nursing facilities and long-term care facilities. Another trigger is looking at the number of the situational awareness, what's going on in with our healthcare partners, and we have not seen an increased demand on healthcare or EMS as a result of COVID. We currently don't have any cases that are hospitalized, and we haven't had a death. So there's different triggers, different things that are being looked at, and we have not met them yet.
Recently, there's been talk of the governor considering issuing a statewide mask order. Do you think that might help in Glenn County? Or can you speculate on how that might be received in Glenn County or how that might be enforced?
That I don't know. For the most part, public health, we've been doing educational campaigns through social media. We do try to get that education out there. I'm not sure about the masks requirement by the state.
The COVID-19 outbreak really began hitting California in March, and people for the most part changed their behaviors. And there were a few cases, but 3 months later, would you say that there's fatigue settling in amongst ordinary people? And now that cases are rising and people are less willing to wear the masks, that they're even more important than they were 2 or 3 months ago?
That's hard to say. Honestly, what we've been seeing is just some of our new cases are from gatherings. I'm not sure if they're clusters, so I wouldn't be able to speak for the whole county just based on some of the three clusters that we've been closely following and monitoring.
That was Laura Medina, Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Glenn County, speaking with NSPR's Mark Albert. Like many other counties in our region, Tehama County has also recorded a recent spike in cases. At the time of this recording, going from 12 to 28 cases over the last week. NSPR's Andre Bayek recently spoke with Michelle Schmidt, supervising public health nurse for the Tehama County Health Services Agency, about the spike, as well as recent tests of Corning's wastewater system for the coronavirus, and about who should get tested. Andre started the conversation by asking why cases appear to be rising so quickly.
Basically, we are continuing to have a lot of testing that's going on in our community. So as we increase with our testing, it's not a surprise to us that we have an increase in the number of cases. And we're finding that we have people that are coming out and socializing. And so at times, there can be groups of individuals that might, you know, be kind of like what would be a kind of a cluster of people where there might be several individuals that were at the same location that might come up as being positive. So that sometimes that can cause an increase in numbers in, you know, from that standpoint.
Sticking on that cluster concept, the Health Services Agency recently said that perhaps some cases have been linked to a single person. What can you share about the circumstances surrounding those infections?
Basically, what our process is that when we have a positive case, we try to identify who individuals have come in close contact with that person that's tested positive. And at that point in time, we encourage, besides putting them on quarantine to try to prevent the possible spread of the infection, we put them on a 14-day quarantine. And we also encourage them to get tested at that point in time. And there have been instances where we have some of those individuals that have been close contacts have tested positive. And I know there's been some confusion in the past, like if a group of 30 people have been at a party that we're considering all 30 of them, if just one person's positive, that we're consider all of them as being cases. And that's inaccurate information. Basically, the only folks that get tabulated as being cases in our county is that we have a confirmed test, a nasal pharyngeal swab test that's come up is that they have, that they're positive for the COVID-19 virus. And that's the only way that they get counted as positives. But we do a lot of contact tracing, and we encourage those individuals to be tested. And so there are times when those individuals might come up as being positives as well.
You know, sticking on these positives, are you seeing that these infections are occurring perhaps at, you know, private gatherings, or is this, could this be linked to the county's reopening in some way?
So far, you know, it's looking like it's more private gatherings that we're identifying at this point in time and not, you know, necessarily a specific industry focus from that standpoint.
Staying on possible sources of infections, I believe there was some testing done in Corning's wastewater system in May, and results showed that there could be dozens of cases in the city that, you know, hadn't been detected. Can you speak to maybe how accurate that testing is and perhaps what it tells you about the spread of the virus?
It basically just is kind of a test that can give us potentially an idea of the prevalence of the spread of the disease within the certain community that that wastewater has been retrieved from. And I can't speak directly to all the science of it from that standpoint, but basically as people have coronavirus, that's going to come out of their bodies. And one of the ways that it does come out of their bodies is through fecal matter. And so then that can be picked up on those wastewater testing. I want to make sure that everybody's clear that it's not in the water that they're drinking. It's basically wastewater. So as somebody has the coronavirus, and that's one of the way that the virus leaves the body is through feces, and that's picked up in the wastewater from that standpoint. We're strongly encouraging people to go and get tested, because we could have several of our individuals out and about that have COVID-19, but that are potentially asymptomatic. So like right now, our numbers of the 28 positive cases that we have in our community, 17 of those were asymptomatic and 11 had symptoms. So we can see from that standpoint that we have quite a few, you know, even of the people that have tested positive, that they were asymptomatic. So that's why we really want to encourage people that even if they don't feel sick, that they still go ahead and, you know, go get tested so that we can try to identify those individuals that might be positive. And just as I said earlier, to try to help mitigate the spread of those of the virus to others from that standpoint, the more that we can get tested and try to mitigate that spread, that's going to cause our numbers to kind of stabilize out from that standpoint.
You brought up a great point about the testing of people who may not be showing symptoms. I believe the Health Services Agency is encouraging people to get tested regularly, even if they aren't showing symptoms. Can you expand upon that for me? I mean, how often should people be getting tested?
You know, it's kind of up to every person's perspective. You know, I definitely feel like if you're in a high-risk area where you're coming in close contact with individuals that might be sick, then we would strongly encourage individuals to be tested more frequently. But I think you could potentially say somebody could be, you know, could test every 14 days if that was something that they felt that they wanted to keep doing from that standpoint. But there's not really any set, you know, mandate out there as to regards to how frequently somebody should be testing. Definitely if, you know, you start feeling signs or symptoms, then we strongly encourage you to get tested at that point in time for sure. Definitely, we have a great resource right now as we have our OptumServe testing sites in county, which is a great resource of Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. that we have open, you know, open slots available for people to go get tested. And the more we can, you know, get tested within our community to identify how many people we do have, that helps us to get more data with regards to the prevalence of the disease within our community.
Is there anything I didn't ask you about the county's coronavirus response that you'd like to add or think I missed?
My biggest encouragement is public health is always about prevention. So we've talked about how we can kind of try to find it and identify it. But really, I really would love to push the fact of that things are starting to open up, which we're very excited that we're being able to open things up, that we still really want to strongly encourage individuals, you know, to do the prevention strategies of what's been put out there from the standpoint of washing your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds, you know, maintaining your space, still continue to maintain that 6 feet of social distancing, and as well covering your face with either cloth masks that are appropriate for our public folks, just because anything that we can do to try to prevent the spread of it, that's going to be what we need to do. And our concern is that as things start opening up and people are feeling like we can get out and about, that we still need to try to maintain those areas of prevention so that we can make sure that we keep moving in the right direction of being able to open more areas within our community and try to get back to whatever semblance of normal we can at this point in time. But it's really going to take us working together as a community, you know, with regards to continuing to stick with all those prevention strategies of maintaining our space, covering our face, and, you know, washing our hands on a regular basis to try to help prevent the spread of this disease.
That was Michelle Schmidt, supervising public health nurse for the Tehama County Health Services Agency, speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek. And that is your program. As always, if you have thoughts for us, leave them on our message line 433-9216 or go to our website, mynspr.org. Today's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, Angel Haracha, Eric Radavil, Kylo Castilla, and Phil Wilkie. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, news director at North State Public Radio, and this is special coverage. Tune in each weekday evening at 6:30 or catch the rebroadcast the following morning at 8:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and stay tuned.